What do Jewish people believe about heaven, hell, and life after death? Many of them will just simply flat out tell me, I don't believe in heaven or hell. What do I do? What do I say to them?
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid as he continues in the series entitled Questions and Answers, Part 6, here on The Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to The Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters here in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm so glad that you've joined us. Well, we're in a series on questions and answers. Now, these are not questions that Jewish people have about the Bible or the claims of Jesus being the Messiah, but rather these are questions that Gentile believers might have about Jewish people. And we've dealt with several of them so far. I've asked the question and I've answered it. Why do Jewish people need to believe in Jesus as the Messiah? Aren't they okay because they're God's chosen people? And I showed from the Word of God that the Jewish people need to come to personal faith in the Messiah Jesus. There is no other salvation that's available for a Jewish person other than the same one that's available for people from a Gentile background. And then I asked the question, is it true that it was the Jewish people who killed Jesus Christ? And I tried to show that, yes, the Jewish people were there. They were involved in it, but so were the political leaders, and so were the people from a Gentile background. So to try to pin the blame solely, completely, totally upon the Jewish people would be wrong. The entire world during the days of the Lord Jesus were against him, except for those who were following him. Then I asked the question, what does it mean when the Bible says that the Jewish people are God's chosen people? And I showed that there were three ways in particular. First thing we tried to do was to prove the fact that God did indeed choose the Jewish people, and we saw that from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. But then I pointed out that the Word of God was something that was part of this being chosen by God. He used the nation of Israel to give to the world his word, his authoritative Bible. And then also the Messiah came from the Jewish people. A third way in which God chose them hasn't been fulfilled yet. It will be in the future. And this is that they will eventually be the missionaries to the world. And then I answered the question, how do Jewish people believe you get to heaven? And in one word, they'll tell you mitzvahs, doing good deeds, doing that which they think would be considered right. In the eyes of God, well, got news for you, because of our sins, we cannot do ultimate good. So good deeds are not the way to get to heaven, but rather personal faith in Jesus as the Messiah. And then I asked the question, should I as a Gentile believer be afraid to witness to my Jewish friends because they know the Bible so well? And I keep repeating this over and over and over again. And the reason why is because so many people that I speak to as I travel around the country in different churches, most of the people are from a Gentile background, and they have this fear of witnessing to their Jewish friends. And I want you to know, don't be afraid. Don't fear, because for the most part, most Jewish people, not all, but most Jewish people don't know the Bible all that well. And then I asked the question, what do Jewish people believe about the Trinity, and how can we help them understand this very important concept? And I showed that both Old and New Testament speaks to the truth that there's one God, but this one God has manifested himself in three different persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And why is it so difficult for Jewish people to believe in Jesus as the Messiah? And we pointed out the two major stumbling blocks and hurdles that Jewish people will face when they're challenged to believe in Jesus the Messiah. One deals with all of the misunderstandings they have. The second one is that Jewish people have this tremendous fear of what the Jewish community would think and how they would respond if they were to become a follower of Jesus the Messiah. And then I asked the question, can a person from a Gentile background witness effectively to a Jewish person? And I gave three ways. Show them true Christian love, express sincere appreciation, and make sure that you use proper terminology. Very, very important. And then I tried to answer the age-old question, who is a Jew? What makes a person Jewish? Or, as I said, the most popular way to say it is, who is a Jew? And I tried to give biblical answers for that as well. Well, I want to continue on and ask the question, what do Jewish people believe about heaven, hell, and life after death? And as is true with so many of the other things that I've talked about, the person's background makes all the difference in the world. Whether they come from a Reformed background or an Orthodox background is going to determine what they view and how they view heaven, hell, and life after death. For the most part, Reformed Jewish people, these would be people with very, very liberal views. They would be like the Sadducees of the New Testament. They don't believe in a life after death. They think this is it. You live and you die and you're finished. And the only way that you live on is in the memories of those who are still alive. However, on the other side of the coin, you got the Orthodox Jewish people, and they do believe in a literal life after death. The conservative Jewish people who fall in the middle, depending upon whether they're more Reformed or whether they're more Orthodox, would have a bearing on how they view life after death and heaven and hell and so forth. But how can we most effectively minister this truth to them? Well, there are some good things that we can say to them that might show them the importance of realizing that there is a literal heaven and hell. And one of the ways in which I try to do that is to show them some Bible verses that speaks to this subject. And to their amazement, there are some excellent verses found in the Old Testament. For example, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 12. Listen what it says. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Did you notice that the word everlasting was used in both instances? Everlasting life and everlasting contempt. Those who will awake from out of the ground, those who sleep in the dust. Daniel 12:2 is an excellent verse to use with your friends. And then Isaiah 26 and verse 19, your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, for your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. That is about as clear as it gets. Here we see that people will come back to life. They will awake from the dead. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 24 says, then they shall go forth and look on the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, and their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all mankind. This is a very serious verse because it talks about the terrible fate of those who were not obviously believers in the Messiah Jesus. They transgressed against me. They died in their sins. They died without their sins being forgiven. So those are some good verses that speaks to the issue of heaven, hell, and life after death. And, you know, in my opportunities that I've had down through the years, in speaking to Jewish friends, many of them will just simply flat out tell me, I don't believe in heaven or hell. What do I do? What do I say to them? Well, I'll try to show them these verses, but even after they take a look at these verses, many times they're still not convinced. Well, here's one of the things that I've found that sometimes will help. During the course of our conversation, sometimes I'll bring up an individual like Hitler or somebody like him of like character. And more often than not, they'll respond by saying something like this, well, I'm glad they're getting what's coming to them. Well, I immediately ask them, well, what do you mean? How is that possible? If there is no life after death, how is Hitler getting anything that's coming to him? And that's the point I try to bring out. If there is no hell, then how are they getting anything? And I try to explain to them, since we are forbidden to seek our own vengeance because the Bible teaches that vengeance belongs to the Lord, hell is really the only way that some people will get what is coming to them. And I try to explain to them, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that I'm glad that anybody is going to hell. But what I am glad to say is that because God is just, because there is a hell, because there is this time when people are going to pay for their sins, that they will be receiving God's wrath for their own sins, and this is a just thing. And sometimes it might get through a little bit. Unfortunately, many, many times it doesn't. But I want people to know, and one of the things that we try to emphasize in our ministry is that we want people to repent of their sins. We want people to receive God's forgiveness through the Messiah Jesus so they don't get what they deserve. Every human being deserves hell because of our sins. But because of God's grace, as you well know, those of you who have received the Messiah Jesus know that there's going to come a time when we're going to get what we don't deserve, and that's heaven. So this is what we try to let people know, that there is a literal heaven, there is a literal hell, and there is life after death. There is eternal existence for the soul. Not everybody has the blessing that will be experiencing eternal life in the very presence of God because of their faith in the Messiah Jesus, but that can be theirs if they would turn to him. But for those of us who do know him, let's be thankful that God, in his grace and in his mercy, is one day going to give us what we don't deserve, and that's punishment and condemnation because of our sins. So there is, whether a person acknowledges it or not, there is a literal heaven, there is a literal hell, and there is life after death. Another question. What religious literature is found within Judaism? What do Jewish people have? We have the Bible. We call it our Holy Bible. What do Jewish people have as their main pieces of literature? And there are several of them. One, the main one, is called the Holy Scriptures. Jewish people have a book that's called the Holy Scriptures. And this would be very comparable to our Old Testament. And of course, you know, the reason why they don't call it the Old Testament is because they don't have a New Testament. We have a New Testament. They just simply have the Holy Scriptures. And it's very similar, as I said, to our King James Old Testament. In fact, on many occasions, some people will say, well, wait a minute, that Bible you're using, that's the Christian Bible. And they don't even want to listen to anything I say out of it. So I'll say, well, do you have a copy of the Jewish Holy Scriptures? And if they do, if they could find it, they get it off the shelf, and I'll use that. The Bible verses that I were intending to show them from the Old Testament, I'll go ahead and show them those same verses right out of the Jewish Holy Scriptures. But the Jewish Holy Scriptures contains 24 books, and it's divided up into three parts. Now, the reason why they have less books than we do is they combine some of their books. Where we might have two or three books, they combine them and make them into one book. But their Holy Scriptures are divided into three parts: the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. Let's talk about the Law. The Law is the Torah. Sometimes it's called the Pentateuch. And that consists of the first five books of our Old Testament and their Holy Scriptures. It goes from Genesis through Deuteronomy. And by far, this is the part of scriptures that most Jewish people are more familiar with than any other parts of their holy scriptures. When they go to synagogue or temple week after week after week, and as is true with some of them, they have the first five books divided up that throughout the year, they read through the entire five books in a year's time. So on the new year, they read the last section of Deuteronomy and the first section of Genesis, and they start the process all over again. This by far is, in their thinking, the most significant part in their Holy Scriptures. The next part of the Holy Scriptures would be the prophets, called the Nevi'im. There are eight books, and they're divided into two parts. They're called the former prophets, which is made up of Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings, and then the latter prophets, referring to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then the 12 minor prophets. Now, they do read a portion of the prophets in some of their services, but it is interesting that when they get to certain portions that are very, very, very messianic, for example, Isaiah 53, they unfortunately skip right over that. They'll go from Isaiah chapter 52 to Isaiah chapter 54. They just shy away from Isaiah 53. They know it's a very, very messianic portion. So we have the law, the first five books, then the prophets, the Nevi'im, and then the writings, which is called the Ketubim, which is made up of 11 books. And included in the writings would be three poetic books. We have the Psalms, the Proverbs, and the book of Job. And then they have what's called the five scrolls. And this is made up of Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. And then they have what's called the three prophetic historical books. And this would be Daniel and Ezra, Nehemiah, and then Chronicles. But as I've said on other occasions, it's sad to have to say this, but it's very, very true. A very small percentage of Jewish people even read the Holy Scriptures. Most are almost totally illiterate concerning what the Bible teaches. Just ask them. If they're honest, they'll tell you, you know, I don't read the Bible that much. I don't know much about the Bible. And even though they're coming from that background, you would think that they were Bible scholars because they know for a fact that Jesus is not the Messiah. That's what they'll tell you. That's what they'll say. So the Jewish people have the Holy Scriptures. That's their main book. Then they also have what is called the Talmud. The Talmud. Now, the Talmud is a body of rabbinical thought on the Holy Scriptures. It's like a commentary that was written by rabbis. It's a collection of rabbinical thought about the books that are in the Holy Scriptures. It's made up of two parts. One part is called the Mishnah, and the other part is called the Gemara. Now, if you're talking to an Orthodox Jewish person and you bring up the Talmud, you bring up the Mishnah and the Gemara, boy, they know exactly what you're talking about. You bring this up to a Reformed Jewish person and they probably don't even know where to begin because they're not familiar. They don't read the Talmud whatsoever. So the Mishnah is basically a commentary by rabbis on the Holy Scriptures. It would be similar to us, let's say, going to a Christian bookstore and buying a commentary on the book of Romans. So that's what the Talmud is like. It's a commentary. It's a collection of thoughts by rabbis about the Holy Scriptures. The Mishnah and the Gemara make up what is called the Talmud. And what is true, as I said, concerning the Holy Scriptures is also true concerning the Talmud. Only the religious Jewish people are familiar with the Talmud. Orthodox Jewish people look at the Holy Scriptures through the Talmud. In fact, if they're going to be honest with you, most of them study the Talmud actually more than they study the Holy Scriptures. And one major error that they make with the Talmud is this, is that they actually put the Talmud on the same level with the Holy Scriptures. So what the rabbis have said about the Scriptures, they view that as being equal to the Holy Scriptures. And in some cases, they actually hold it in a higher esteem than the Scriptures themselves. So it's wrong, obviously, to do that. So to put it in very, very simple terms, the Mishnah is comparable to a commentary that someone would write on one of the books of the Bible that we might buy at a Christian bookstore. The Gemara, on the other hand, would be like a person who would come along and write a commentary on the commentary. Now, we don't even have those in our Christian bookstores, do we? I mean, if we want to go and buy a commentary on the book of Romans, we don't find anybody who's written a commentary about the commentary. Now, of course, they might quote those commentaries and things like that, but this even takes it a step further. They have taken the Mishnah and written a commentary on that, and that's called the Gemara. And these are very, very important pieces of literature within Judaism, especially for the Orthodox Jewish people. Take it even a step further, you have the Hasidic Jewish people. These are the super, I mean like hyper religious Jewish people. These are the ones that you see sometimes dressed in black, big black hats, and they have their sideburns real long and curled up. Very dedicated, very, very religious in what they believe in. I mean, you have to commend them. They in some cases, they actually put believers to shame. They're so dedicated to what they believe in. And they would be spending many, many, many hours studying the Talmud. Many of them are more familiar with what Rabbi so-and-so said about the Holy Scriptures than what Joshua says, or what the Psalms say, or what Isaiah said, or what Moses said. And of course, we would have a concern for that because we want people to read and study the Scriptures. And why is that? Why would we want an unsaved person, a person who has not yet at this point become a follower of Jesus the Messiah, to read the Bible? By the way, that's one of the reasons why we have special little New Covenant prophecy editions of the New Testament that we give away. Why would we want to do that? Because we believe that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth. So when people stay away from the word of God, and the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jewish people especially, spend a whole lot of time in the Talmud trying to discover what Rabbi so-and-so says about the verse, we feel we would love to have them rather just read the Holy Scriptures themselves. You know, this is not really too far from what a lot of other false religions and even cults do. They have their books in addition to the Bible. The Christian Science have their books. The Mormons have their books. And many times they'll spend more time studying and reading those books and studying what the Word of God itself has to say. So that's why we encourage people to get into the Holy Scriptures. We tell our Jewish friends, read your Bible, read the Holy Scriptures. And sometimes we'll give them one of those little copies of that prophetic New Testament because we want them to discover what the Word of God has to say. Well, that's what the Jewish people have in their system of belief concerning their religious literature. They have the Holy Scriptures and they have the Talmud. I hope this has been helpful to you. I hope that discovering and learning what Jewish people believe and what they follow will be helpful when you attempt to witness to your Jewish acquaintance. Anytime we witness to anybody, it's good to know a little bit about what their background is and what it is they're believing in. Well, we have a whole lot of material that we could send to you, but you need to request it. You need to write to us. You could also log on to our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. If you don't have internet access and you want to write to us, or if you want to write to us anyway and request these different things, simply write MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006, and request a copy of our evangelistic magazine. If you want to help us defray some of the expenses of having these radio broadcasts on, we would certainly appreciate that. But we really hope that these are being helpful to you. We want to do whatever we can to assist you in ministering effectively to your Jewish acquaintance. I thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, may God richly bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. Or write to us at MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. And be sure to request a copy of Evangelistic Magazine. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today, and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.